Welcome into Big Jim's Garage. The man who never sleeps, ladies and gentlemen. The voice of the Indy 500. It's Lee Diffie. Good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Jim. It's good to be back on the show.
Oh, man. I want to talk about the weekend. That was the most compelling qualifying I have ever seen in Indy, and I've been watching it a long time. That was just unbelievable.
Well, it was quite the ride. It was quite the roller coaster, and it was yet another reminder of why people like you and me and so many millions around the world love live sport, because it's so unpredictable. Just when it seems you know the pattern, it changes course and surprises us.
So we knew that. I mean, obviously Ganassi at Indy, that it's not a secret that Chip Ganassi Racing is a powerhouse. But Palau, was he showing that kind of speed all week?
Yeah, he was. He was kind of consistently quick and just lurking, you know, not really creating any headlines, but consistently quick. So that was that wasn't a surprise. But the speeds that they were turning, Jim, were just immense. They were incredible, and you know, just we're seeing historic speed set. Last year it was Scott Dixon, and we all got excited about that. And then yesterday, Alex Palou goes again with the fastest pole time ever.
Have you noticed too? It seems to me that these drivers, this generation of drivers, are more comfortable with that speed. It feels like the margins that they're pushing are so small when they get up against the wall, the way they're, even when they've got into the fourth lap and those tires are changing the way they go through the corners, they seem to be like, okay, that's just the way it is and I'm going to send it.
Yeah, they're asking a lot. And Alex commented on that yesterday post his pole winning run. They're asking a lot of the tires and the equipment and themselves. I mean, you know, it begs the question: how fast can they go, right? How fast can they keep on going? And it just, again, it underscores just how skillful they are.
So watching and it was interesting to see McLaren. Think about where McLaren came to Indy, and really, you know, struggled. Obviously, so many, you know, well documented struggles to just get in the 500, and then this year, that team as a whole, they're just an animal.
Well, if you remember when Fernando Alonso got bounced out, and they said we will never put ourselves in that position again. We will come back and we will be strong. And here we are several years later, and look at them. They're incredible. It's a powerhouse. Those four drivers, Alexander Rossi, Felix Rosenquist, Tony Kanaan, and Pato O'Ward, pick any of them during the race. I mean, they're going to be spectacular.
So we talk about the race, obviously now the qualifying's over and the field is set. When we get into mileage, the idea of fuel mileage, because how many pit stops are there on an average Indy 500? Without caution, what would be a normal pit stop range?
Half a dozen, yeah.
So do we know, are there any mileage between Honda and the Chevy power plants right now? Is there a difference, or we haven't really had a chance to see that?
Well, today's going to be a really good day for that, because they're going to do, you know, there's a two-hour session Monday between 1 and 3 Eastern, and that's going to, you know, they'll be doing full fuel loads, and so we'll check on that. Like, look at the longest run, the most consistent over 10-lap run. That's going to start to give us a little more insight into it. Sorry if it's noisy in the background, too. I'm out on a street here in Indianapolis.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? The fact that you've taken time to do this, Lee, I appreciate that. I can't imagine how busy it is this week. So we always appreciate the time. And, yeah, because I'm curious about that, because I think about the younger drivers, like a Santino Ferrucci, who was just flat out flying. And these guys, when they get into this race, some of the old dogs like Scott Dixon and them may be a little bit better at saving a little gas and stretching out maybe one of those middle stints to where they have a better set of tires at the end of the race. That's something you're only going to learn from turning laps. You can't teach that in a simulator.
Yeah, that's right. And then look to the flip side of the mileage story is the precision and the execution side of the story, not just from the pit crews, but from the drivers. You remember last year, Scott Dixon just had a little blip.
Yeah.
On pit road on his last stop and was 1 mile an hour too fast, and that was it. Penalty, no chance of winning the Indianapolis 500. So it just requires so much from everybody in all aspects of every team.
Was it palpable, the tension during the Fast 6 yesterday?
Well, I tell you what was more gripping was just the unknown, like, and also the disbelief that a team the magnitude and with the historical success of Ray Hall, Lederman, Lanigan was in was in a predicament like that. That was probably the overwhelming weight of it all. And then it was, well, is it going to be the three Ray Hall cars in and Stingray Rob out? And then, as we now know, you know, the most senior member on the Ray Hall team and the most experienced and the team leader was the one who didn't make it. And that was just crushing for Graham Ray Hall. But the way that he handled himself in the post-session interview with Marty Snyder, and then when Courtney and his daughters arrived, you know, he turned from a crushed race car driver to a beautiful father in an instant. You know, like we all do, as soon as you see your kids, it changes the scenario. And you know, there's not a single driver and there's not a single fan who doesn't feel for Graham Ray Hall. So what he and his family have done for the sport. And then just in the bizarre coincidence, 30 years to the occasion when his father, Bobby, his famous father, Bobby, missed out, Graham misses out. And again, just that crushing reminder of how much this event means to these drivers. And Graham has, as you know, Jim, Graham's come close a couple of times to winning it. You know, he appreciates the history and the significance of this event like no other. And then to not even be invited to the party, you know, that's what hurts.
So I would do stuff here with the Detroit Grand Prix and talk with Graham. And I spoke to him a couple times at the track. And not that he's standoffish, but he's very direct, like just like his dad. And then we had this event, I think it was at the DIA, the Detroit Institute of Art. And he was standing there and it was away from all the media. And we just talked cars. And I told him I love a Bobby Unser. And as a kid, how Bobby came into my dad's gas station. And I've been watching the Indy 500 since I was five and watching his dad. And we stood there talking about stuff. And you realize what a very genuine person he is. And to be an open and as candid as he is in a moment like that. And the whole weekend, it's rare air. I'm such a fan of Graham Ray Hall now, and even more so after this weekend in a strange way.
Look, I saw a message this morning on social media from IndyCar radio commentator and reporter Jake Query saying that they had a standing radio slot for Graham Monday morning at 9:40 a.m. And despite what happened yesterday, Graham is keeping staying committed to that interview slot, which is, that speaks to the guy. That speaks to the quality of the person. So, I mean, and Jack Harvey too, just think about the situation he was put in where, you know, all race car drivers are selfish. You want to win and you want to be in the field. And so he was doing what was totally natural and totally required, but it came at the expense of his teammates. So nobody would want to do that to a teammate. But at the same time, you're there to do a job. And it was just one of those no-win situations, right? You feel great for yourself, but you feel bad for your teammate. And it just, the drama, Jim, the drama that just unfolded when we least expected it. Nobody was going faster on the third and four laps, you know, maybe a couple here or there. But when you know, Harvey was showing a predictable trend and, you know, Jack, on the advice of his engineers, he made that one tweak down the back straight entering turn three to adjust the balance of the car and it worked. And just the fact that we were talking, you know, all day, all weekend about tenths and hundredths of a mile an hour difference, you know, tenths, hundredths and thousandths of a second over 10 miles.
Yeah.
Is just insane.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, Will Buxton's video when he pretty much scolded all of Europe. I love that video when he was explaining qualifying, going, you guys just don't get it. I mean, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like these qualifying sessions in sport.
All you got to do is ask Fernando Alonso what it's like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The F1 guys, and it's so much fun. And then Tony Kanaan, I mean, obviously, I saw the video. I'm sure you did, too. That video, his farewell video, hits you right in the feels. But, man, it makes me crazy because I'm seeing him. I know it's his last time and all this, but he can still drive the absolute hell out of a car at Indy.
Oh, and he can still win.
He can.
He can win this Sunday. No question about it. Finished third last year, driving for Ganassi. This year, the speed of that Arrow McLaren Chevy and just the way that, you know, the shape he's in, his frame of mind, you know, he's balancing the emotional weight of his final one and his farewell with the, you know, the desire and the drive to win. Just another compelling story. And then if you want to talk about historical and compelling stories, what about the AJ Foyt story?
Yeah.
Just incredible to see, you know, not only Santino Ferrucci, but the rookie Benjamin Peterson doing what he's doing.
That kid is fast. That kid is crazy fast.
There's lots going on, Jim.
Yeah there is.
Be a great Memorial weekend Sunday.
So, yeah, and Santino was actually in studio promoting the Detroit Grand Prix, Lee, and I said, no pressure, but you're sitting in the 14 car for AJ. He goes, oh, I know. I mean, and that kid will not back down. I saw, like, after when they said, are you going to take it easy in the morning session, he's like, no. What, are you crazy? He's not afraid of the moment.
I was just talking to him, and he said, we've definitely, you know, not getting ahead of our skis, over our skis, but he said, we've definitely got a car that could win, which is encouraging to hear.
So obviously here in Detroit, we have a close connection to Penske with, you know, what they do with the Detroit Grand Prix, which is coming up the week after the Indy 500, obviously. Do you think Penske kind of knew, okay, we can't get pole, so we're going to work on a more balanced car with Tim Cindric and those guys, looking at a big picture?
Well, they do now.
Yeah. Or did they miss? I mean, did they just miss? I know their strategy, like when they were first talking about, you know, on Saturday, they went out late and stuff, but they seemed very confident, and then they were just surprised.
Yeah. They were really good at the open tests back in April. So I don't know. And it's, you know, we have to be mindful and a little bit careful, you know, to like if you say, you know, did they miss and all that, when we go back to what we were just talking about, when people were missing by hundredths of a mile an hour.
Yeah, that's a
good
point.
Tenths of a mile an hour, there's nothing in it, you know. So a miss is, you know, what, a few feet or an inch or a couple of inches across the line. So it's just so tight, which, you know, in turn leads to a phenomenal race coming up.
Is there someone maybe that's not towards the front of the pack that you're really interested to see what they're going to do?
Can I give a very general answer to that question?
Sure.
Look, my stock answer, and we all get asked a lot about this. To me, it's the only race in the world where you can legitimately say 2/3 of this field could win this race. Might even be more than that. I mean, you know, yes, we've got some rookies and, yes, not all cars are going to be as fast as the other, but it's legit. I mean, if we sat down and had a cup of coffee and we went down the entry list or the grid, you know, you'd find a hard time putting a line through certain guys saying, no, he's got no chance. I mean, that's what makes IndyCar and the Indy 500 so great. We've had five races this year, So you, I'll turn it back on you, Big Jim. You tell me.
I'm with you. I think the whole field. I mean, I'm looking at McLaughlin and Scott. That guy can just flat out drive. And I don't. I'm. Where's he at? 16th, 17th,
14th. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. He's in the high teens, like in the low teens, I should say. He didn't miss the fast 12 by much.
Yeah, but then again, I'm kind of cheating if I'm using a Penske car as a long shot. That, come on. But, you know, yeah, I'm so interested in seeing how this is going to play out. 11 a.m. on Sunday, right?
Well, yes, that's true for NBC. But if you want to get up early and crank the coffee or your mimosas, we're on Peacock at 9 a.m. So there's two additional hours of coverage this year, 9 a.m. to 11 on Peacock. Then from 11 o'clock all the way through and beyond is on NBC.
So Lee, I I'll be here actually, you know, with the Detroit Grand Prix. I think I told you, like, I finally got my one thing my bucket list thing. I get to be a track announcer for the Detroit Grand Prix this year.
Fantastic.
And
you're not going to have time to come and visit us.
I know. Well,
too busy.
But yeah, to have it downtown and this track, wait till you see pit lane. They've split it to where it goes left or right.
Yes, I know.
I
can't wait to get there because a number of people have, and they keep telling me, you won't believe it until you see it.
And I'll tell you the one that people are not paying attention to, but so much that Winter Garden is the backside of the Renaissance Center, the big glass window there that looks out over the Detroit River. When they come down and along that straight, that little short straight where they turn left and go up by pit lane, I cannot wait for the sound of these cars reverberating off all that glass at Winter Garden at the Renaissance Center. It is going to – Detroit's just going to ring. And then that straight on Jefferson, Will Power's already looking at it going, that's a long straight. That's 8/10 of a mile. They're going to get after it on that thing. But – yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
I cannot wait, man. And your call, you and Townsend and everybody there, the whole team, you guys feel like you're just, you know what it sounded like this weekend? Three guys hanging out watching the greatest spectacle in racing. You were just having so much fun calling it.
Thank you. Yeah, we get on, you know, I always say you got to get on off air to get on air. And we're like three brothers and three dysfunctional brothers. And we have a great relationship, and our entire team did a great job. You know, all the people, I mentioned it on the Peacock show yesterday, all the production members that you will never meet, you'll never see, you'll never know their names. They're so skillful, and they're so dedicated. And you know, a lot of us don't go home. You know, we're here all the way through. And so it's time away from families, and it's a big commitment. But that's what you do for the biggest race in the world, right?
Do you want? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it is. It's seamless the way you guys do this. I share one more thing with you. I went back and looked through the metrics. So like when people download our podcast and listen to segments, the number one segment last year was Al Unser Jr. talking about the 200-mile pit stops back in the day at Indy.
Oh, God.
The idea that, and even Mario Andretti said he tried it twice and went, nope, I'm not doing this. But we talked about, was it Gordon Johncock that year, that they would come in and just 200 miles an hour, 82, 83, somewhere around there. And Al Unser Jr.
Can't even imagine that now.
He said that he did it, and he was doing 190 when he hit pit lane. And he saw his box, and he could time it out where he would hit the brakes and slide where he could stop. And they were doing it. To me, that is like the level of just fearlessness in these drivers. And like I said earlier, I retract what I said. These guys have been crazy. These men and women have been crazy for a long time doing this. It is a special breed.
They are totally different to, in air quotes, normal people.
Hey, Lee, have a great week. We can't wait. We hope I will get some time to come say hi here in Detroit. The first time downtown since 1991.
It's going to be great. I've got some friends who live in the Birmingham area in Detroit, and they are so jacked. They're so excited about the race coming back downtown. They still went every year to the Belle Isle race, but they're just so, their excitement is heightened, as I've heard a lot of people in Detroit are. So I can't wait to get there in less than 2 weeks.
Amen.
It's going to be awesome.
Amen. We'll see you here. Lee Diffie, 9 a.m., right, on Peacock.
9 a.m. on Peacock, 11 a.m. on NBC.
All the best to everybody and your entire team. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for your passion and your dedication, mate. Thank you.
Love you. There he goes. Lee Diffie. I'm telling you, man, this is going to be special this week. The Indy 500, if you don't know, when I was a kid, Bobby Unser came into my dad's gas station when I was 5. My dad worked at a gas station. We lived in Orange County, California, in Santa Ana. And he gave my dad an autograph, and I don't remember. My dad claims I sat in the car. I don't remember that. I'm not going to call my dad a liar or anything, but I don't remember it. But I remember the car because they would tow it around in the back of a trailer. It was the Olsenite Eagle. It kind of tells you my age. And from that point on, I was a little kid, and I would sit in front of the TV and watch the Indy 500 when I was 5, and because I knew Bobby Unser. And my whole life, I've watched the Indy 500. I've grown up with Rick Mears and John Cock and Mario Andretti and the Unser family and then Paul Tracy and all the amazing drivers that have come through there and all the amazing races. And this breed of driver right now, this generation, they're just as good as any I've ever seen. They're amazing to watch, man. But yeah, that's where it comes from. Thanks to Lee again. I got goosebumps. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Thanks again to all our friends at NBC and Peacock. Indy 500, like Lee mentioned, 9 a.m. on Peacock, 11 a.m. on NBC this Sunday. Cannot wait, man. Right? It's amazing. If you get time, go look up that Will Buxton video where he went on and explained to everybody like why the qualifying is so amazing. But these guys are going to be out there doing 230 miles an hour. I keep saying guys, men and women. I keep forgetting Catherine Legg, and I apologize for that because she's an amazing driver. All right, you guys be well. Thanks for checking us out. You can always follow me here in Detroit at Big Jim's House on Twitter, Big Jim's House WCSX on Facebook as well. We're also on Instagram. We do a little morning show up here in the Motor City, which is why we're so close to all the racing. Take care of yourself. You earn it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.